go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
And hopefully we mix and match all of that stuff together today on this Thursday edition of Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. PFW's Eric Scalavino is here. Hour number two of the program today, the one and only Russell S. Baxter from ProFootballGuru.com will run through the entire week on the NFL season. In the meantime, we've got the Dallas Cowboys coming in Sunday afternoon, 4:15 kickoff. We've spoken about how much we dislike 4:15 kickoffs, right?
Well, I don't dislike them nearly as much as I dislike night games, 8:30, 8:20.
Night games,
kickoffs.
Yeah, but
I can deal with a 4:15 much better than I can with an 8:30,
1 o'clock.
Oh, whatever. I mean, that's
1 o'clock game.
Sure,
that's 1 o'clock Sunday games.
Right.
See, now growing up for me, it was
but
noon.
Somebody's got to play the doubleheader because you grow up, you want to watch all afternoon.
Well, but see, growing up, we never had the doubleheader. You had basically one game on. You had one network carried one game, the other network carried the other game, and that was it. And they were, you know, one was at noontime, and then the afternoon game was usually on the other network.
It's a different world now, my friend.
I know.
Every game's available.
Well, it's just the popularity of the NFL. I realize that. And, of course, we have the popular Dallas Cowboys coming in Tuesday on the this week. We talked about the moniker America's Team, and really, well, the Cowboys were stuck with that nickname by NFL Films back in the 1970s. It sort of held true, and for a long, long time, Cowboys were the most popular team in the National Football League. I would probably venture a guess and say that their logo is one of the most recognizable logos in all of sport, and that's globally. Just that blue star is pretty tough to miss. of course, it's also pretty tough to miss a flying Elvis head, too, but, you know, let's face it.
Which also has a star on it.
Has a star in the, you know, right in the hat, right? So the Cowboys are recognizable. Cowboys are formidable, and sometimes the Cowboys just can't get out of their own way. And that's really the way this Dallas team is through a 2-2 start to this football team. The Patriots, on the other hand, are 4-1, stubbed their toe, as we know, against Buffalo because Tom Brady had an off day. Oh, my goodness, Tom had an off day. Well, it happens. And Buffalo took advantage of it. Buffalo is not as bad as people thought they might initially be. Still not entirely convinced, and I'm sure this will be a conversation for later on this year, that they're going to be all that at the end of this year. I'm not convinced it's a playoff team, but again, time will certainly tell. We'll give Buffalo the credit and the benefit of the doubt at this point in time. But for the Cowboys, you know, they've got their backs to the wall, and, you know, it's really sort of cliche to say that, you know, teams usually when they have their backs to the wall, good teams figure out a way to fight out from the corner of which they've been pinned. Don't yet know that about this Cowboy team, because last year that happened to them in the opening half of the season, and they stumbled miserably at 1-7, and obviously led to Wade Phillips firing and Jason, you know, Garrett coming in as the full-time coach, because they were able to finish 5-3 in the second half of the season. So, did they rally? Well, yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they rallied. They were, you know, a somewhat respectable 6-10. They didn't have Romo because of, you know, his injury last year. He's got cracked ribs again this time around. But he's had a week to get a little bit better. I don't know how much appreciably better he's going to be. The point I'm getting to here is that this game is a real puzzler. You guys were just talking about it. I'm sure that our fans and, you know, you guys have your own ideas about where you think this game is going to go, who should win, how they're going to win. But literally, this is one of the toughest games I've had to pick from in some time.
Yeah.
And this goes up against, you know, playoffs and rivalry games. The Jets game last week, for instance. I mean, I don't get a true feel for this game. Now, I've also allowed for the fact that maybe this has something to do with my long since, you know, somewhat dormant allegiance to the Dallas Cowboys because I grew up a fan of Dallas, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really think that that's it. I mean, you know, part of me wants to say, well, I can't really lose here because if the Cowboys win, well, you know, hey, the Cowboys won. You know, life doesn't suck. But at the same time, I also know where my bread's buttered, so to speak. And, you know, this is, you know, it makes things more interesting when the Patriots win games. Here's the one thing that stands out. The last time, well, as we kind of talked about just a little while ago at the end of your show, the last time the Patriots were held to less than 30 points in a regular season
was a year ago in November.
Yeah, against a team.
Against the Cleveland Browns, whose coordinator on defense
was Rob Ryan. And Rob Ryan is the coordinator for this Dallas Cowboys team now. Mm-hmm. Rob Ryan, who is the
better talent on this defense than he had last year.
And that's what makes this game very scary. So what I want to kind of do here is, because I'm going back and forth. I'm really
right the
fence.
You need us to help you today.
Yes, I need help.
You decide.
I need help. So I'm going to open this up to everyone who's listening. All right? We need convincing arguments here.
And even to those who aren't.
Yes, exactly. If you're convincing, great. If you're not convincing, that's fine. You can flood the email inbox. You can flood the telephones. You can hit up the Facebook page. Whatever you want to do is fine by me. Webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Facebook page. If you're not up on Facebook, submit the friend request. John Rook, R-O-O-K-E, is how you spell the last name. We'll answer the friend request. Then you can message, you can post, you can chat. And don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter as well, at J-Rook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722 is the Twitter address page. I need you to tell me who's going to win the game, which is kind of what we always do on Thursdays, but give me a convincing argument. Give me an argument. Why are they going to win the game? Can you sway me one way or the other? And if you're a Cowboy fan, and I know Cowboy fans listen, if you're a Cowboy fan, that's great. I want to hear from that side, too. I need some arguments here. What I want to do is I want to list a reason why the Patriots will win and why the Cowboys will win. And we're going to sort of compile this loose list here of reasons that the Patriots will win and reasons that the Cowboys will win and see if we can't come to some kind of a consensus.
Okay.
And frankly, I think that consensus is how I'm going to line up for this game. Because right now, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind the Cowboys are going to cover the 7-point spread.
So you're going to let the community
I'm going to let the community at large
decide for you
decide
who you're
for me
pick.
Who I'm going to pick. Yes.
Well, that's a heavy burden to lay on these people.
It is, but I'm willing to go with that.
You're going to blame them if you lose it?
I'm going to blame them if I lose it. And I'm going to pat them on the back if the Patriots win it. Or if they say it's Dallas's turn, okay, then I go with Dallas and Cowboys win. Well, I'll compliment them on that too.
What we have here, folks, is a Cowboys fan who's trying to find an excuse to pick the Cowboys.
How about you, Cowboys?
While he collects a paycheck from the Patriots.
You saw right through that, didn't you? Screw you, Eric!
Hey, that's my line.
Yeah, I know. That's hilarious. It's also partially true. Honestly, partiality aside here, there are many reasons why the Cowboys can win the game. There just are, as you look at it. Not the least of which is the one I just led off with, mm-hmm. and the fact that, hey, the Patriots haven't been held down below their standards since Rob Ryan faced them. And he's got a better defense to work with.
And the
this
last time
around.
It happened before that was the other Ryan brother.
Correct. Yes. So I think we have to be concerned somewhat. As Patriots fans, I think you have to be concerned somewhat with the Cowboys' athleticism on defense and their ability to scheme against the Patriots. I hope that this has had the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Bill O'Brien, for that matter, on their toes this week, knowing that there's going to be something out there that, you know, they need to be ready for.
And this Ryan brother has an advantage over the other Ryan brother in that this Ryan brother used to work in this building.
Yeah, he did. That's another X factor in all of this. Rob Ryan used to be a linebackers coach.
And
here.
Won a Super Bowl.
Won a here. Super Bowl here.
Or two. Did he win one or two?
I think he won one and lost
was
one.
It was 01, and I'm not sure about 03.
Was that right?
Let me check.
Okay, we'll look. Definitely 01, though. Right?
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
Well, I can't remember if he was in 03 or not. Okay.
Look it up here.
Eric's going to look it up. All right, in the meantime, then, that's kind of what I want to go with today.
He was definitely on 01.
Okay. And you're looking at the coaching
I'm looking
for
now at 03, coaching staff. Rob Ryan.
Okay. So he won two.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Last year, 30-14 against Cleveland. It was a game that the Patriots never really seemed to be in. They were just mentally
you could tell from
not
the start.
With it from the very, from the first
Nobody
snap of
was.
The ball.
None of the players were,
right.
were into it.
So I'm almost willing to dismiss that because going in, you know, the Patriots were facing a team that they felt like they should walk over, and they didn't do it. So you almost don't know how much Rob Ryan's defensive schemes really had as an effect that way. Clearly, the Patriots only scored 14 points in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But
due
how
to
much
their own ineptitude?
Yes, due to their own ineptitude as opposed to what Cleveland was presenting. But how much of an exotic blitz look are we looking at? I mean, you know, are there going to be some changes? Are the Cowboys going to throw some different things in there? Are they going to throw the kitchen sink, you know, basically at the Cowboys or at the Patriots is what, you know.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
You have better horses. Why not let them loose?
Yeah. They've got, you know, athleticism on end. They've got athleticism in linebacker.
Good corners.
They've got good corners. You know, there's not a whole lot of weakness here.
Maybe
except,
their safeties is their weakest spot.
Except for the safeties and the fact that, you know, they really don't know how to play with a lead. Witness what happened to them against the Detroit Lions.
Right. And there's no worse team to play try to keep a lead again.
And against the Jets, too, for that matter.
Yeah.
You know, so that seems to be kind of where we are. So that's why I'm looking for your thoughts. I need a reason why the Patriots will win, and I need a reason why the Cowboys will win. All right, let's kind of start it off here with Thomas in Nova Scotia. Thomas, you're in the playbook. What do you say today?
Not much. Well, basically, I think that overall Wes Welker is going to have a huge, huge day. I think the tight ends are probably going to get taken out of the game because Dallas has really good guys that can mimic what the Pats tight end can do in practice. You know, Martellus Bennett is much like Aaron Hernandez. Mm-hmm. Jason Witten is much like Gronkowski. But overall, I think that Tom Brady's consistency is really going to be too much. The Cowboys really like to use a lot of screens and stuff like that, and I think that's something that's not likely to work on the Patriots' defense, less than most. And compared to the Browns last season, one of the things that really helped the Browns a lot in that game is that they had a power running game where, you know, if one guy didn't end up getting blocked, Peyton Hillis could just jump over him or go right through him. Felix Jones and the other backs they have there can't really go through anybody.
Okay.
I wouldn't sleep on Felix Jones, though.
No.
Not at all.
No, I've always liked Felix Jones, to be quite honest with you. I thought he was a really good pick for them coming out of Arkansas.
He's not Peyton Hillis by any means, nope. But he's also no slouch.
Nope.
Yeah, well, I think he's fine when he gets into the open field, but I just don't think that Bill's going to allow him to overall.
Well, Bill's not going to be on the field. Bill's not the one who's been giving up the big plays this year.
Here's the thing. We know that the Patriots can game plan to stop at least one aspect of an opposing offense because that's what they've done very well for a number of years. They did it last week with Dustin Keller of the Jets in particular. Only caught one ball. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with the Cowboys, though, it's really choose your poison. I'm still trying to figure out really how this team is 2-2. And it's 2-2 because they can't or they don't know how to play with a lead.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's partially, in my opinion, because they don't have a power running game.
Well, I don't know if it's because it's a power running game or, frankly, I think they try to put – here's what my overall view on the Cowboys is. It's a team that tries to put their foot down on the jugular of the opponent, but they make mistakes. They end up shooting themselves in that foot. And, you know, whether or not you want to blame Tony Romo or, you know, anybody else in the team, that's really what it boils down to. This team has got an extraordinary amount of talent, but has not really been able to gel or put it together because of their penchant for, you know, going 110 miles an hour, for lack of a better phrase here, and then basically having a blowout.
Yeah. As far as their running game, I really think, like, they've got guys that can get you 20 yards or so, but they can get 1 yard, 1 yard, and end up putting them in long yard situations a lot of times. I really think that Wes Welker is going to be the X factor in this game, because I don't think the corners are the type of corners that you need to have in order to play against Wes Welker. You know, they're guys that can't play press. They're big, lanky guys. I just think it's going to be tough for him.
So you think Wes Welker is going to sneak up on the Cowboys, huh?
Well, he's not going to sneak
not gonna
up
sneak
on
up on anybody.
You know, everybody's going to sneak up on him, huh? Welker, and it rarely works.
Well, all right, so your thought then, Thomas, is the Patriots will beat the Cowboys because of Wes Welker.
Yeah, and just because of their overall consistency over the course of the game, the Cowboys are going to make a mistake, and it's almost inevitable.
Well, I will give you this. He is a difficult matchup. I mean, you know, he was not placed out on Revis Island last week all by himself. So that's a good thing. And if Darrell Revis... I'm going to call him Darrell anyway. Darrell Revis. I just haven't ever subscribed to that anyway. If Revis can't hold him one-on-one, I don't think that there's anybody else out there that can. So that may be, as we talked about earlier this week, part of the whole matchup factor that the Patriots present to the opposition. They just have matchup nightmares for opposing defenses.
Yep. Anyways, that's all, right, all I have for you.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate the call. That's good stuff. All right, so, you know, that's one then. Patriots will win because of Wes Welker. Fair enough to say? All right.
Yeah, well, I mean, that sure.
All right.
Nobody's been able to stop him so far. So right.
Now, can you come up with a reason that the Dallas Cowboys will win?
Can I?
Yeah. Or do I have,
I'll give
do
you,
I
no,
have to?
No, I'll give you one.
Okay.
I'll give you one.
What?
They're coming off a bye week. They've
yes.
had more time to prepare for an opponent with whom they're not very familiar.
Correct.
And I'll give you two.
Okay. No. Hold
all right,
the other
all right,
hold
that's
it.
That's fine. That's fine.
Hold it.
That's one.
All right.
That's one.
All right. That's
the
a good
bye
one.
Week. The
that's
bye
a good
week.
One. They're coming off the bye week and preparing for an opponent that you don't normally get a chance to prepare for. Hell, this is just the 11th time the Cowboys have ever faced the Patriots in the history of the NFL. 11 times. That's it. You don't play the Cowboys that often. That's nuts. In all this
What's the
history,
series record?
7-3 for Dallas, but the Patriots have won 3 in a row. The Cowboys have not beaten the Patriots since 1996. So it's been 15 years.
In Dallas.
Yes, and it was in Dallas.
The game Vinatieri chased down
yes,
Herschel Walker.
Yeah, that is correct. That was at the old Texas Stadium before they imploded it. So it's been a long time since the Cowboys have won. But it's incredible to think, though, that, you know, the Patriots had to get into the current regime before they ever beat the Cowboys. And by current regime, I mean, you know, Bill Parcells and beyond in the early
90s. Era.
The craft era. The craft era. That is correct. All right. So the Cowboys will win because they've had more time to prepare for an unknown entity or opponent. All right. Steve in Killeen, Texas. You're up next in the playbook. Hey, Steve.
Hey, John. I think there's lots of factors in this one. And I guess for me, it comes down to mental breakdown. Looking back at the Bills game and the loss there, we were in a situation where our quarterback turned the ball over 5 times and we were still in that game. I just don't see Romo with that ability to overcome his own mistakes. So that's one factor. The other one is the obvious mismatches from the receiving core, and then seeing what we saw in the Jets game finally come to fruition when we were talking last week about turnovers versus the D stepping up and getting the 3 and outs. Mm-hmm. Well, they got the 3 and outs this past week, and it paid off.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
I think
true.
It's kind of that maturation process that's finally coming to fruition. As a fan sitting here, you know, again, like you, I was somebody who watched, you know, the Roger Staubach, Tom Landry era mm-hmm. of the Cowboys with great respect and admiration.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, looking at this team, it's the Cowboys now versus those great teams, it's consistency. It's the one thing that we've been saying with the Pats and kind of the maturation that we're starting to see a little bit more with Ochocinco. And I think those are a couple of other X factors there, too. Steven Ridley has been consistent when he gets the ball of protecting it and getting yards. Ocho Cinco is finally finding a way to contribute, not greatly, but with some level of consistency once again. And without the OTAs and the offseason, I think this week might be that week that, one, a guy like Ocho is really kind of discounted because he really hasn't done anything yet. And Stephen Ridley is still kind of that unknown factor as well. And if those guys contribute big, it's going to be a long day for Dallas.
Okay. Well, I think I see where you're going with that. I think we're sort of underscoring, or even underestimating Dallas's ability to recover defensively against, you know, the Patriots, even though they have a lot of weapons on offense, as we have described many, many times. The Cowboys have the athleticism to recover and make certain that big gains don't turn into, you know, huge gains, or that gains don't turn into big gains. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, DeMarcus Ware can put pressure on the quarterback. And I'd be afraid of, you know, in case, you know, you've got someone like, you know, Sebastian Vollmer in there who hasn't been playing in a couple of weeks, or you have your rookie and Nate Solder, and all it takes is one mistake. All it takes is one mistake, and Tom Brady loses his helmet, if not his head. So
yeah.
I'm just saying.
Where's the beast?
Yeah, and then, yeah, exactly. So that concerns me. The Cowboys playing a 3-4 front, I don't think that concerns me as much as their ability to change from it. But I also think on the other end that there's probably not much out there that Tom Brady hasn't seen. But it's going to be Dallas's ability to disguise and come at Brady from different angles and create a little confusion out there that is going to be key. Because all you have to do is make him hold on to the ball for one extra split second. That's all you need to be able to, you know, knock somebody's block off. And that's what really scares me the most about this game, is that you take that extra second to find that extra man, whether it's Welker or Hernandez or whomever else, but the Cowboys, because of their speed around in, aren't going to give you that extra second.
Right, and that's a known with Dallas that we haven't had. They've been consistent with the pass rush. You know you're going to get heat. Yep. You just don't know where it's coming from.
That's very, very true, and I have to admit that's a huge concern. All right, so your thought, though, is then overall, Steve, let's sort of recap here then. Your thought is what? That the Patriots will win the game because?
I think it's going to come down to mental toughness and being able to execute consistently through the game. When you look at how Dallas has lost this year, and you can go, well, it's Romo's fault. I looked at drop passes at key moments in games, John, where, you know, guys who are getting paid what they're getting paid, if you and I were there, you know, we'd be running over somebody's grandmother making the catches where they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Those types of breakdowns at key moments of the game, I think, are what we're going to see. Maybe not to the degree that we've seen in other games. And again, Romo has been up and down with his consistency, and, you know, again, with the injury. The guy still has his cracked ribs. And, you know, if we can get pressure on him, I think we end up in a good situation. That's not discounting anything that Dallas can do. I see this being another close game, but if Dallas starts making mistakes, it's going to go to one extreme or the other. Either if Dallas can play consistently, it's going to be close.
Okay.
So if they have a couple of turnovers or key mental breakdowns, the Pats are going to jump on them.
Are you suggesting then that if New England can get to Romo, they could knock him out of the game because of the ribs?
I don't know if they could knock him out of it, but they could definitely make it a much more uncomfortable place for him to be. So,
well, they're going to have to do something they haven't been able to do all year, though.
Which they haven't been able to do. That's right.
Right, which is what happened in the Jets game. We didn't have a pass rush until that game, guys. So
I didn't really see a whole ton of pass rush in that game either.
Well, there was more. I mean, there seemed to be more activity, but you didn't get the guy.
Right.
You know, you didn't really get to him. All right, so their ability to focus then, basically, and take it down to down.
Right, and the other thing is, well, even without the pressure on the quarterback, we ended up getting the three and outs that we hadn't seen, which was, in my mind, that's almost as big as getting the turnovers that didn't show up in the Jets game.
Oh, I agree with that one.
The fact that we were able to, with some level of consistency throughout that game, have them go three and out was huge in my mind. And I think, you know, optimistically, we might be able to see that performance repeat where we can hold Dallas to three downs, hopefully shut down key big plays and, you know, not giving up 70, 80 yards on a third and long situation and keep the game manageable.
Right. Okay. Sounds good, Steve. I appreciate that.
One last aside.
Go.
I'm working with Vicky Fletcher on the corny dog situation for you, John. So what happens there, brother?
You're the man. You are the man.
We'll make sure though, Steve, that if it does happen, that we'll have to do it here on the show, so Eric can also sample.
Oh, you better believe it.
You never had a Fletcher's corny dog.
No, of course not.
Oh my Lord
of
mercy!
It's not corn dog, Eric. It's corny dog.
It's corny dog.
I haven't had one of those either.
Okay, and it has to be. Wait a second, Steve. It has to be yellow mustard, not any of that brown stuff.
No.
No Grey Poupon?
No Grey Poupon. No Molden's, Golden's, brown mustard. None of that stuff. It's got to be good old
mustard.
French's yellow.
Yep. And here's the thing, John.
Yeah.
I can't order them and ship them. I have to get them from Vicky, cooked to order, and then off to you guys.
So how are we going to make this work?
How's that going to happen, though?
I'll work out those details, fellas. You let me run with this one and see what I can figure out. You know, if it comes down to, you know, I'm flying out over the weekend with corn dogs in hand coming in.
You're going to be able to get through TSA with those things?
I'll make it work somehow.
Excuse me, officer. I have a loaded corny dog here.
Like, I'm traveling over 1,000 miles to deliver corn dogs to the Patriots.
I like it.
Bob Kraft is a personal friend of mine.
All right.
Oh, you're the man.
All right,
Steve. Thanks. That's good stuff. Excellent.
A corny
stuff.
Dog.
Corny dog, baby. Yeah, it's corny dog.
Give me the ingredients. What are we working with here?
It's a hot dog on a stick that is
fried,
dunked in batter.
Yeah,
and fried, deep fried.
So there's like a hard outer shell to it,
shell. It's a cornbread. It's more like cornbread.
I love cornbread.
Yeah, it's a cornbread covering.
Hot dog with French's yellow mustard on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds good.
It's cornbread wrapped around, dipped in cornbread batter, basically.
Yeah, right.
And then deep fried.
Oh, man.
It's unbelievable. A hot dog is deep fried.
And this is what they have at the Texas State Fair?
Oh, they have everything fried at the Texas State Fair.
The fair's over, though, isn't it?
Wasn't
it last weekend?
Actually, I believe this
is... Or is it all week?
No, it's 2 weeks, and I think the UTOU game is
the middle
in between. So I think this is the last
week.
Yeah, this was the last week for the State Fair, I believe.
Wow, that does sound good.
Yeah. Which is what we really need. I realize they have the Big E up in Springfield, but...
Nobody goes. Nobody knows
we
about
need,
that.
We need a big-time state fair here in New England. We really do. Rhode Island needs a state fair. Don't you think Rhode Island needs a state fair?
They could do one,
We could do one. Yeah. I'm going to start it. Well, I'm going to start it.
You're going to sell corny dogs?
I'm going to sell corny dogs, too. I guarantee it's a hit. Rhode Islanders won't know what hit them.
Is the corny dog native to that area of Texas?
Yes. Sort of indigenous to that part of
Texas. So you would need Del's Lemonade or Coffee Milk.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll have that. It'll be there.
Just be something else.
Yeah.
Rook's Texas and Rhode Island booth.
We're going to have corny dogs and fried Snickers.
Now, who's this woman he was talking about that the... Vicky or whatever that he has to order from? Is there like one outfit that makes these things? Or
Fletcher's.
Fletcher's?
Yes. A Fletcher's corny dog. That's the name of the company, Fletcher's.
All right. Oh, yeah. He should use Dane Fletcher as an excuse if he gets pulled over.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I'm from Fletcher's.
I got a relative who needs some corny dogs.
Yeah.
Whether he's related or not.
Yeah, could be a distant, very distant
very
cousin.
Very distant cousin. All right, Bill in Connecticut. Thanks for hanging in, Bill. You're in Patriots Playbook.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Bill.
Good.
What's up?
Well, I could give you a million different reasons why the Patriots are going to beat Dallas. First of all, we don't lose at home. And secondly...
Except in the playoffs.
Bill Belichick going up against a defense that he's seen before or a defensive guy that he's seen before, I'm sure he's going to do his homework. Also, we have the defense that couldn't stop the run last year against against Hillis, but this year... we're much better against the run. Then Brady's had a couple of bad games the last couple of weeks, but we still managed to win. He hasn't really been at his best. I look for Brady to break out this week and have a crazy amount of yards this week.
Well, he's had a couple of weeks like that,
yeah,
right?
But he's not been as sharp as he normally is the last couple of games.
I think that's largely because the game plan has dictated they needed to run the football.
That's true.
I mean, he still threw for over 300 last week, and Ben Jarvis had a career day.
Right, and I would say against Oakland, they had a very balanced attack. He had a terrible second half against Buffalo, and he had a couple of errant throws against the Jets. But overall, 321 yards.
He had a good game.
Yeah.
I don't think he had a good game according to his standards. And I think, DeMar Marcus Ware is going to get to Brady, or their pass rush may get to Brady, but so did the Jets' pass rush get to Brady a number of times, and he still managed to make plays on them. So I don't see them stopping our offense the way people seem to think they will.
I wouldn't take them too lightly, though.
All right. So
well, I'm not taking them too lightly. I'm just stating that Romo probably will play like a Hall of Fame quarterback for 55 minutes, but those 5 minutes he's going to turn the ball over enough for us to win the game.
Well, you might be right there, but that I think is going to make it a close game.
All right. So
it'll be close, but we'll win.
All right, Bill. So pick one reason then why you think the Cowboys are going to lose or the Patriots are going to win. Why is that going to happen?
Well, we don't lose at home.
We don't lose at home,
except in the playoffs.
See, I got you to grudgingly admit that one, didn't I? Yeah.
Well, here's another point. Here's one more point that I'd like to mention. The bye week can make you come out flat. That's what happened with us in the playoffs against the Jets. We came out flat.
Well, that is the other way that you can look at it.
That had nothing to do with the Baltimore loss. That was no bye week.
Well, that was a couple years ago. That's too far.
Oh, okay.
Revisionist history.
Come
sure.
on, Eric. What are you talking about here?
All right, Bill. Good stuff. Thanks, man. All right, Bill.
All right. Have a good one.
All right, you too. All right, so there you go. We're kind of off and rolling here. You get the gist of it, so to speak.
Are you writing all these down? Are you keeping a chart?
I got it right here.
Oh, boy.
I got it right here.
So you're not going to remember by the end of this program.
Probably not, but that's okay.
And you're going to pick the Cowboys anyway.
Well, but right now, well, you know what? Honestly, I'm kind of leaning that way. And a lot of it is because of the arguments the Patriots fans are making for the Patriots.
You think they're taking the Cowboys too lightly?
I do.
I agree with you, actually.
I think Patriots fans are taking the game too lightly.
I agree with you.
I think Patriots fans are taking it into consideration that Tony Romo, he's going to shoot himself with the plate. He's going to make a mistake. Yeah. We're going to win the game easy.
This is probably
sounds
the
like
most,
Andy Hart, this doesn't it?
Yes.
Doesn't it?
This is probably the most talented team they have faced this season.
It might be top to bottom.
Individually. As Fred said at the end of the show.
It might be the most talented team they face all year.
It might. I think Fred put it very well, though, at the end of PFW in Progress when he said that their sum is less than
the Patriots.
The Cowboys. The sum of their parts is more than their whole.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So
individually,
they're better
than they are together.
In other words, the Cowboys haven't come together as a team yet. And I would agree with that. And Fred's correct on that.
Some of their parts is less than.
That is correct. But if they ever find a way, find a way to get all of these individual parts together, look out. The Cowboys will be very dangerous. Now, for the Cowboys, they can still win that division because I think the rest of the NFC East has come down to their level or has, really failed to live up to anybody else's expectations, most notably in Philadelphia. But they still would have a team like Green Bay that they have to overcome and a team like Detroit that they ultimately have to overcome because they couldn't do it in the regular season. It was clear. They had the Lions down by 24 and blew the game. So, you have to wonder about the mental makeup of a team if they get up again and if the Cowboys do get a lead on New England, whether or not that thought's going to go through their head again. That's human nature.
Which is why I think New England needs to get the lead early and big
And put them down.
Because Dallas's two losses have come when they've had the lead and blown it. Now, how are they going to react when they're a team that has to come back from a deficit? On the road.
I just don't know, though. I think the Cowboys are so explosive or can be so explosive that even if the Patriots were to come up with a 3-touchdown lead.
Might not be enough.
I don't know that it's enough. This might be, this could be one of those games where last team with the ball wins. We don't have but maybe 2 or 3 of those every year. This could be one of those. Last team with the ball wins the game. I'm kind of leaning toward that, to be honest with you.
Well, It might not be the last team with the ball. I've said this before. It might be the team who makes the last play.
Okay, fair enough.
Like we saw against Indy last year.
Indy, yeah.
New England didn't have the ball last. Well, they kind of did because they made the interception. But
right.
The last major drive of the game, they didn't have the ball. They had to make a play.
Right.
It might be one of those deals.
Webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us via email. The Ace Ticket Hotline already zooming today. 508-298-0398. That's how you call into the program. Tell us why the Cowboys will win. Tell us why the Patriots will win. Right now, we've got basically looking at some of the emails, and we'll read these as the show goes here. But, no one right now thinks the Cowboys will win. everyone thinks the Patriots will win. Now, I can't say that's terribly surprising because this is a Patriot-centric show. However, no one's really, I mean, we've had, what, one, two of our three callers, and I'm starting to look at the emails now.
And me.
And yourself that are thinking that this game will actually be close.
And I've given you a reason why the Cowboys could win.
Right.
I can give you some more.
Give me another one. Give me another one.
They have more talent on defense than any team that they've faced so far this year.
Without a doubt.
They have the weapons to shut down, or at least not shut down, but to minimize the impact that this offense can have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I look at the Cowboys defensively. And when you look at their front three, you got, you know, basically Ratliff and who is that, Hatcher and Coleman, perhaps. You play a little Marcus Spears. You got Ware and Spencer on the outside at linebackers. You got Lee and Brady James on the inside. The corners, I think, are certainly capable. And Mike Jenkins, who I've liked ever since he was at South Florida, seen him play for a number of years.
And I believe he was a player that the Patriots – Bill Belichick specifically worked out individually.
Believe so.
In the pre-draft process in, what was it, 07, 08, whatever year he was taken.
Yeah,
I think they worked him out. It might have been 8 or
2008,
nine.
I think.
Yeah.
And then you have Terrence Newman on the other side.
Established veteran. Who's
established
very
veteran
good.
Guy. Your safeties are Sensabaugh and probably Elam. You know, okay.
But that's your weak link if you have to find one.
Right. I mean, you know. I think at defensive tackle, they're somewhat, you know, rotatable, but, you know, their strengths are certainly at linebacker and at the corner spot. And, you know, and the Cowboys, they get after you.
Now, one of the callers, I forgot if it was Bill or Steve before him, saying that taking the tight ends out of the equation, Dallas could do that because they have two tight ends who are similar to our two tight ends. I haven't seen anybody shut down Rob Gronkowski. I haven't seen anybody be able to defend him with one or two players. The times he hasn't been able to produce have been when he has had a bad game, Cleveland, an example, or when Tom Brady has underthrown him, Buffalo, a couple of weeks ago. People say Witten's the best tight end in the league. Maybe he is because he has a little bit more experience, but I think Gronkowski is going to be the prototype tight end for the next decade in this league.
You could be looking at, you know, a guy who looks like he's on his way to the Hall of Fame and a guy that, you know, could be the next great thing.
If he stays on course the way he is now, he's going to be one of the best tight ends ever.
Witten, by the way, is just the seventh tight end in NFL history to have 7,000 career receiving yards. Haven't been many, you know, where tight ends are the go-to guy.
Also because the game has changed as in such a way that the tight end is now more a part of most offenses, most passing games, where it wasn't as much back in the 60s or 70s when, you know, Mike Ditka was roaming around on the field. It's become more of an athletic position as opposed to just an extra big body.
The Cowboys have always had great tight ends throughout their history, starting with Ditka, you know, and, you know, they had Billy Joe Dupree. You remember Billy Joe Dupree?
I do.
And then you had, obviously,
Jay Novacek,
who was, you know, Aikman's go-to guy. Yep. And Jason Witten just kind of falls in line with that. So they've always had, you know, great.
I hate to bring up his name. Poor soul, Jackie Smith.
Jackie Smith, who dropped the touchdown pass.
Saddest man in America, whatever it was that the call was.
I know. Bless his heart.
Yes, bless
that
his heart.
That was the call that Vern Lundquist
had. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Jackie Smith, who is an Hall of Fame tight end, mostly with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Mostly with the Cardinals, right.
But he played that one year with the Cowboys, and he played in that Super Bowl against Pittsburgh and dropped a pass that,
yeah,
you know.
That's what he's remembered for, not for all his years with the Cardinals.
Well, what do you remember Bill Buckner for?
I know.
Okay, so same deal.
But you
football.
Feel for I feel
you
for
feel
him
for
too.
The guy, yeah, absolutely, because he was a, you know, great guy, Hall of Fame player, and he's remembered for one drop that could have won the Cowboys the Super Bowl, like Buckner's remembered for one error that could have won the Red Sox a World Series. So, one of those kisses of fate. All right, here we go. Gustavo, our friend from Porto Alegre, Brazil, says, he says, I understand your concern about the Patriots facing a defense coordinated by Rob Ryan again, but don't you think that Belichick is a key factor here? Don't you think that he has studied Rob Ryan's defense all week and come up with some plan to do better than last year against Cleveland. I think that the Patriots will win. Probably won't be easy, but they will win. Bill Belichick is one of the reasons, and another one, is that our offense is very good. Gronkowski won't make the same mistakes that he made last season. Finally, we'll be playing at home. Seems to be sort of general consensus.
Boy, they're really hanging their hats on this home game, aren't they?
The fact that it's at home. Would you feel differently if this game were in Dallas? Or Arlington, as the case may be?
No. I would feel exactly the same.
Yeah.
Ambivalent.
Yeah.
Nervous.
Yeah. I have to kind of agree.
But excited, because it's going to be, I think, a good game.
Bob says, okay, Tom Brady has never lost at home in the regular season after the Pats have led after the first half or the third quarter. A record, in my opinion, that will never be broken. Currently 74 consecutive games. 51 after the first half, 55 after the third quarter. Okay.
So they need to get a lead.
So they got to get a lead, which is what you just said. They need to have a lead, and they need to hold on to that because they won't give up.
And pad it. They need to
pad it as best as they can. Number two, the Patriots are now tied with the all-time NFL record that they set between 03 and 04, 19 straight home wins in the regular season. Okay. Number three, in addition, Tom Brady has not lost to an NFC team at home since 2002 to Green Bay. That's a good one. He says, will this be the week everything comes crashing down? I don't think so. Let me also add, the Patriots are 17-1 overall against NFC East teams.
Since? Or under Bill Belichick?
Under Bill Belichick. No, I'm sorry, at home.
At home?
They're 17-1 at home against NFC teams, period, since 02.
Okay. And that one being the Green Bay game. Let me ask you this, as a man of Texas, grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Mm. How much weight do you put into the whole Dallas dark jersey jinx?
A lot.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What they're wearing this Sunday?
Are they wearing darks?
Patriots are wearing white.
Really?
Yep.
Well, then what does that tell you?
That's something for the Patriots column?
Yeah.
Is that something in
that's
the,
a good
in the
one.
Patriots can win column?
I like that. Yeah, that's a good one.
Do you really buy into that?
Yes.
The dark jerseys?
I do. It was because it was a mental thing. They struggled over the years. We're going back into the 1960s, 70s, 80s, whenever the Cowboys would wear the quote-unquote road blue.
Which
the Cowboys, by the way,
so much better.
They're great-looking uniforms, really good. But the Cowboys,
wore
their whites at home. They're one of the few teams that wore white at home.
And so did the Redskins.
And the Redskins
rivals.
Did, too. But they wore whites at home because they were the classic unis. And so, you know, teams didn't mind wearing their colored jerseys on the road.
Because they felt like they were at home.
That's exactly right. That's how the whole thing got started. And so when the Cowboys would go on the road, they would normally be wearing white because most teams wore colored at home.
But did the jinx come from, was it Super Bowl V when they lost to the Colts on the field goal?
Yes.
Is that, because they wore blue that day?
Yes, they wore blue that day.
That's where it started, right?
Largely, I think that's when it started, back about Super Bowl V. That's pretty good. That's good. You know your football history
there. Of course
there.
I do.
I'm very impressed by that.
Thank you.
Who kicked the field goal to beat him?
Jim O'Brien.
Very good! Oh, ding, ding, ding. You win. Or you lose, one way or the other.
I win a corny dog?
You win a corny dog. A Fletcher's corny dog with yellow mustard. I remember that day as like it was yesterday. I cried like a baby. Cried like a baby! I was, 10 years old, I think? Cried like a baby!
As a former kicker, I used to scream at the television every time I would see that NFL film.
Well, you
clip
should know all the great kickers.
Because idiot didn't buckle his chin strap, one.
Right.
Treat the game with respect.
Right.
Go out there and buckle your chin strap.
Right.
And B, he wore a sissy bar. Can't give kickers a bad name. Wear a real face mask.
Oh, he wore one of those.
He
single,
one of those
single
I think
bars?
Wore, yeah. Wear a
bar?
Real face mask.
Really. What good was that? What good was a single
does
bar?
Nothing.
That's stupid, right?
You might have to make a tackle out there, kid.
You deserve to get your teeth
you
bashed in.
You deserve to get your teeth bashed in. That's right. You deserve to have, like, what Patrick Chung happened to him the other day and have a heel go right in your face.
By the way, Gustowski made a kick. Made a nice tackle.
That's right.
It was an excellent
tackle.
He didn't just get
Brandon
in the way
Merriweather
of the guy.
Should watch.
I know. He
learn
didn't
how to do
wrap
it.
Somebody up, right? He didn't just get in the way of the guy.
No, he
made
brought him down.
Tackle. He
that's
brought
right.
him down. I was very impressed by that. And I did think of you when he made that, too.
Did you?
By the way, I did. That was very good. I said, Eric would be proud.
I would.
Making kickers proud here. I like that. All right, so, yes, I do believe there was something to it because of the mental aspect of the game. And the Cowboys are wearing the blue jerseys, which tells me what? Tells you what about the Patriots?
They're looking for every advantage they can get.
Bingo. They also are very much aware of the blue jersey jinx.
Of course they are, which is why they wore their alternate uniforms, the silver ones, in 03, the last time Dallas came here, because that made Dallas have to wear the blues
the
then,
blues.
And they shut them out 12-0.
So why don't they wear the silvers anymore? Because they just
the silvers are
hideous.
And you saw the throwbacks last week are beautiful. They pop, especially in the sunlight.
Yeah, can you imagine? Can you imagine having to play in those silver things after last week in the by the way, those red jerseys, they really should.
They are so beautiful.
They should come up now.
They are so beautiful.
They really are. They need to play one at least one game a year in their throwbacks, which I hope they do, or two.
Two.
But they should come up with a red jersey in the current style.
That would spoil these. Yes. That would spoil these.
Well, why couldn't you wear the Flying Elvis helmet and the red jersey?
Because I think that would it's a clash of generations, of styles, everything. Just the way it is now is great. It's the 85 team, the first team to get to the Super Bowl from this franchise.
All right. That's a good team to celebrate.
Beautiful one to celebrate. Just perfect design, great colors. It's the bright red, the royal blue, and they're great. And when they win when they wear them.
That's true.
They're undefeated at home. They've only lost two games, and I believe they're both road games. They lost the Miami game in 09 wearing the reds, and Miami wore white that day on the road. Miami was home. New England was on the road. And what was the other one they lost? Broncos in 09.
That's right.
They lost the Broncos game in 09. But those weren't the 85s.
The ones
that they wore in 2009 were celebrating the 50th birthday year of the AFL. So they wore the 1960 type jerseys, uniforms. Mm-hmm. So technically, in the 85s, they're undefeated because they wore them Thanksgiving in Detroit 2002, if you recall.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving last year in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And Halloween last year, and then this year, of course.
Do they wear them again this year? Are they scheduled
That's
to wear
it.
Them
nope.
This is it?
That was it, the one and only this year.
Wow, they should wear them twice. All right. Chad sends this. He says, all right, let's start with stats. Cowboys rushing attack, 86.8 yards per game. That's 26th. Third down conversions, they're 18 of 52. Sacks allowed, 13. Allowed 101 points, that's 23rd. Cowboys' O-line has been very questionable so far. Felix Jones can't stay healthy for an entire game. Interesting to see if Rob Ryan will blitz every two plays. Last year's Cleveland game was completely different. Patriots fumbled a ton of times. Hillis actually ran the ball, which is true. Romo only plays well when he's on cortisone. So unless he's on cortisone this week, expect at least two turnovers. Cowboys have talent, no question, but right now it's just on paper. It's been an entire year that we hear they have talent. The Pats will win because the Cowboys do not have anybody that can stop the Patriots' offensive weapons. Cowboys' offense, well, we don't think.
I know, I disagree with that.
I kind of disagree with it, too. Cowboys' offense hasn't set a rhythm. That I'll agree with. Ware's going to find out he'll be forced to cover a Patriot tight end, therefore abandoning pressuring Brady.
I would be shocked if DeMarcus Ware's covering a tight end.
No.
They're not going to waste him doing that.
No, I don't think so either. And no defensive, you're taking your best pass rusher away and putting him on the tight end?
I don't think so either.
And no defensive lineman has actually been able to sack Brady when the Patriots offense is running the no huddle. Okay. So maybe the Patriots run the up-tempo thing, then maybe you're gone to something.
Maybe.
Cowboys have not faced the Packers, the Saints, or even the Falcons. They haven't even faced real contenders so far. There are more concerns from the Cowboys than the Patriots. Pats win by a minimum 14.
Ooh, very sanguine.
You know, there's some good points. Chad makes some good points in the email.
Is this Ocho Cinco?
But, yeah. Come on, Ocho. What are you doing to us here? You're killing us here.
And Chad 8-5 has 7 catches for 150 yards.
I know. Wow. Okay, some decent points. Some cogent points made.
Yeah, and the Cowboys, if they have a weakness on offense, I think it is their O-line because they have how many rookies do they have on that O-line?
God.
They have two rookie starters, I believe, and two rookie backups.
All right,
I'm not mistaken,
Nagy
right?
is a starter. Smith is a starter.
Rookies,
tackle.
Right?
They're both rookies.
Yep.
And then you have two backups that are rookies as well. The
right.
center and also the left guard.
Right. So they're
so you've got four rookies and they're two deep.
Yeah.
Four rookies and they're two deep on the offensive
right.
line.
And you keep eight or nine linemen on a game day roster.
Right. So half of it, that means they are inexperienced.
They're about, yeah.
Well, this is imperative then that the Patriots keep, you know, Will Fork and or a relatively healthy Fat Albert out on the field.
And use the rotation to keep him fresh. Get Gerard Warren in there. Get Kyle Love in there.
And but that's exactly it. You know,
get those guys moving.
Have a rolling, have a game plan. Okay, you're in on first down. You're in on second down.
Andre Carter,
you're
Sean Ellis.
Yeah,
keep
exactly.
those guys moving.
Those guys
mix up the combinations.
Then
too. You don't want to get them used.
You
to,
might actually see some pressure work for the Patriots against a relatively inexperienced Cowboy mm-hmm. offensive line,
or at least one that has some pockets that you could exploit.
Huge key to the game. I'm glad to see we're sitting here talking about it and brought up. It didn't dawn on me until we were just started talking about it.
You're still picking the Cowboys.
Give me another reason the Cowboys can win.
Dallas is a more balanced team overall.
Overall?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of obvious, to be honest with you. Patriots have sort of gone against that over the last couple of weeks, but yeah. Yeah, I'd say fundamentally, yeah, that's probably true. It's probably true. We all know the Patriots are pass first. Cowboys want to be run first, although Tony Romo has been known to wing it. Tiff in Wisconsin. I've been nervous about every game since the beginning of the season, but I am not nervous about this game.
Oh, boy. See, the more people say that.
See? That has me very nervous. Yeah.
This has shades of the Cleveland game last year.
I'm not
year,
nervous.
Right? Nobody said, everybody was looking past the Cleveland game.
I love
game.
This. She's not nervous, so that makes her nervous.
Yeah.
That makes sense for me. For some
You're
reason.
You're making me nervous, too.
I know. For some reason, I'm completely convinced the Patriots will win this game because they are the better team, not by much, with the better quarterback. Dallas has DeMarcus Ware, so they have a chance to defeat the Patriots, but not at Gillette. Here's what I think. Everyone is banking on Dallas to lose because Romo will make mistakes. What if he doesn't make any mistakes?
Mm-hmm.
I just hope we can get a playmaker through a trade. I wish Dallas would do the right thing and trade DeMarcus Ware to the Pats. And I wish the Patriots would do the right thing and give up a first-round pick for DeMarcus Ware.
That's not going to happen.
I'm only half kidding, she says. I'm sick of value guys with the 32nd ranked defense. Sorry, Pete. She's right.
Yeah.
She makes a point. Value guys and your defense is ranked 32nd. That's what you're getting with value, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You need playmakers. And I've been harping on this since day one. I know you've talked about it as well. This defense needs playmakers. We saw some guys begin to step up last week with the whole seven stops and 12, you know, possessions and, you know, three downs or less. So that part is good. When you spread it around, it's even better. But you still, that trend must continue. We haven't seen that as a trend. We've only seen it as a blip on the radar. Is what we've seen. But if the Patriots can continue that trend, then perhaps we can get a little bit closer to having playmakers. By the way, here's Tony, who says, Eric, you got to get yourself to the Topsfield Fair to eat a corn dog. He says it's scrum delicious.
Topsfield Mass?
Fair? Yeah, Topsfield Mass. I didn't know that they had corn dogs in Topsfield Fair.
But it's not a Fletcher's corny dog.
No, it's not a Fletcher's.
I want an authentic,
authentic
Texas State Fair.
It's so authentic. I want you could go into any Stop and Shop, which is the New England supermarket chain of note. Although
or Shaw's.
Shaw's too. Shaw's is a Patriots sponsor too. But you can go to any Stop and Shop or Shaw's in New England. You can find frozen Fletcher's corny dogs.
Oh, really?
Yes, you can. But they carry them.
Are they?
They're frozen. You don't want frozen.
It's the same.
You need to have the one that's just been stuck right in the deep fryer.
How's it
going to
be fresh if he
tasty.
Takes it from Texas, though?
I don't know how he's going to do this. I don't know how he's going to do that either.
Here's what he's going to do. He's going to convince the woman there that he was mentioned to give him the recipe and the ingredients and the wherewithal. Bring all that to Foxborough and cook one up for
us.
We're
going to pull the deep fryers right in here.
Yeah.
Into the control room.
How long
Kevin.
Does it take to make one?
Not long.
A few minutes?
Not long.
Yeah? So we could have them freshly made right here.
How long does it take to put a wiener on a stick?
Ask Andy Hart.
You have to ask him
I was waiting for someone to step through the door, okay?
You have to ask him how long it takes to put a wiener in a sock. That's his thing.
Yes.
And with that, it's 3 o'clock. I need to make a prediction.
Okay, make your prediction.
You should know I got a little wiener.
Well, I'm going to say that the Patriots will win the game 42-41.
Wow. Really? I like that.
Get your popcorn ready.
I like that.
Even though he's not 42, on the team anymore.
42-41?
Yeah. Seesaw battle.
It's my quarterback.
Wow.
Get rid of me. Trade me. Release me.
Oh. All right. Should I make mine or am I going to wait?
If you're still on the fence, then, I know who you're picking. Don't give me that.
I don't know.
I know.
All right. Quick practice
report. Update.
Yeah, practice report. We heard the big news about Mike Wright
going on IR, and I have to think that if he hasn't already, that he needs to seriously ponder retiring from football.
Yeah.
For his own good.
Yeah.
And I say that as someone who really likes Mike Wright, one of the better guys in that locker room that we've had a chance to talk to and interact with over the few years that he's been here. It's a terrible situation. You don't want to see him go down the Ted Johnson road and having the type of troubles that he's had as a direct result of these concussions and head injuries. I just hope that his having come back last week just helped them decide that he wasn't ready and that something worse didn't happen to him during those 2 days of practice.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just hope he went out there and just realized, you know what, I'm trying my best, I'm trying to give it a go, I can't do it, as opposed to he went out there, gave it his all, and got rocked again and had something even more debilitating happen to him. I really hope that that's not the case. But we wish Mike very well in whatever is next for him. To fill up his spot on the roster, they re-signed Phillip Adams, the cornerback who was with them earlier this year. They cut him right before the Jets game, brought him back. So obviously Mike Wright's no longer a factor this year. Mayo and Barrett, both of whom were out yesterday, out again today.
Mm-hmm.
Two more players, though. Benjarvis Green-Ellis, who injured his toe yesterday in practice and was limited, was not out there today. And you want another reason why the Cowboys could win?
Okay.
Patriots might not have their leading rusher against the leading rush defense in the NFL.
That's big.
That's another one.
Which would make the Patriots could make them one-dimensional.
Could, unless Stephen Ridley has another one of his Raider-like performances. Against the best rush defense in the league, that's asking a lot for a rookie. So Benny wasn't out there to start. Vince wasn't out there either. Now, he wasn't on the injury report yesterday, so I have to believe it's non-injury related. Could be a personal issue, could be illness. We saw Logan Mankins miss practice recently because of an illness.
Right.
Tom Brady even said there were some guys who were under the weather coming out of the Jets game, so maybe there's something going through the locker room. Vince just talked yesterday. So, did he? I saw Vince yesterday. I'm not sure if he talked or not, but okay. I saw him walking around yesterday. Just something to keep in the back of your mind there.
William just sent me this on Facebook. John, stop wasting my time. Pick the Cowboys 34-0 already. Now ask yourself if that score sounds possible. No, that score does not sound possible. In fact, I'm going to surprise you all. I am picking the Patriots.
Wait a minute. You're not waiting for 4 o'clock?
No, I'm going to do it now. Going to do it right now.
What are you trying to pull here?
I'm just telling you. Right now, I'm taking the Patriots. I'm taking the Patriots 38-35.
Really?
Mm-hmm. By 3.
You surprised me.
Really? Why?
Because yeah, I thought you were picking the Cowboys.
I was leaning heavily toward that as the whole.
Well, what swayed you? These over-optimistic fans that
yes.
have been writing in?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So you're going to blame them for losing this game if it comes to that the Cowboys win. And you're going to say, I knew I wanted to pick my Cowboys all along.
Yes.
I'll see you Sunday in the press box.
Yes, sir. I'll be here, I think. I hope we still have a job. All right, let's get a timeout in here. Then Russell Baxter, pro football guru, coming up in the playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Hour number two, Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio. John Rook here. Thanks to Eric Scalavino for his input, as always. Keep the cards and letters coming, as the saying goes, kids. Email webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And the Facebook page is humming today as well with your thoughts. But now let's turn our attentions to pro football guru Russell Baxter. Russell, how are you today?
I'm great, John. It sounds like you're under siege already here,
no.
too. And it's nothing to do with hot sauce already.
No.
Just so you know, I get there. I like tuning into the show before I get on and listen to as much as possible.
That wasn't a good thing today. Too much corn dog
was
talk.
Was he lurking back there?
Yeah, kind of. And then we've had a lot of corn dog talk today just because of the Texas State Fair and all that stuff. So a lot of good corny dog talk.
Well, Cowboys, Patriots, we don't see it that often, you know, especially with the four-year rotation now with the interconference games and so on. But,
this is true.
It's always... always entertaining because you're talking about America's team versus, well, I guess America's team.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah, that is very true. America's team against America's team. That was our conversation for the most part on Tuesday. And which team do you think still belongs, you know, or still kind of owns the moniker. And honestly, we had a complete and total mixed bag of results. We had a few Patriots fans that say, oh, yeah, it's still the Patriots. We had a few people say, yeah, the Cowboys probably, that since they originated the name, they should probably keep it. But we had plenty of fans also say, you know, Green Bay and Pittsburgh deserve some run too, because they are probably the most popular teams in terms of the paraphernalia that you see worn around the country.
Yeah, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, because my memory is usually pretty good, but was it really the Cowboys who announced themselves as America's team? Wasn't it NFL Films?
Yes, it was NFL Films that gave the Cowboys the name. John Facenda narrated it. I mean, let's face it, that's how it started. That's how it started. Back in the Texas E. Schramm days, and Clint Murchison owned the team, and Tom Landry ran the team.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of like bashing somebody who's drafted first overall for not having a good career. They didn't pick themselves number one overall.
No.
You know?
No.
So somebody else gives you the nickname, but hey, listen, we're only having some fun with it and so on. Listen, and it holds true right now, as you well know. Green Bay was Title Town in the 60s. I still refer to it as Title Town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, there are certain traditions, and to me, the Cowboys, they are America's team because that's the nickname they were given. You know, Mean Joe Green and Elsie Greenwood, Dwight White and Ernie Holmes are not there anymore, but people still refer to the Steelers' defense as the Steel Curtain.
They don't call the Cowboys Doomsday, though, anymore.
No, they don't. And I know we don't hear the Purple People Eaters.
Right.
Fearsome foursome.
Fearsome foursome, yeah.
Not a lot of fearsome foursomes anymore. There's so many fearsome threesomes. So.
Yeah, we have to come up with a new moniker for that. But wasn't that great, though?
Of a different generation, and we're weaned differently in terms of nicknames in football. And, you know, nicknames back then, they were so powerful that they've actually stuck for 40 years. That's the thing.
They were probably more powerful back then because there wasn't the plethora of media, and so there wasn't the beating those nicknames into the ground like we do nowadays.
Right. I mean, I still, if I'm writing a piece or doing a tweet and so on, I'll refer to the Bears as the Monsters of Midway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though that's, you know, forever in a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just kind of things that stick in your brain, but the funny thing is, when you say those things, even a new generation of fans know exactly what you're talking about.
Strange how that happens, right?
Yeah.
So you'd still give the Cowboys the moniker America's Team?
I think because they originated it, I would. I mean, but there's so many different ways to go, honestly. I mean, obviously the Patriots are in the middle of a dynastic run. I still refer to them as a dynasty because they haven't fallen off.
Yep.
You know, we're in year, let's see, this is the 11th year of Brady Belichick. And, I know there was no Brady Belichick per se in 08, but it's still. But, I mean, 10 consecutive winning seasons, you know, unless there's a collapse, we're looking at 11. It's one of the better streaks you'll ever see. You know, I know the impact they've made, but I think the Cowboys team will always be America's team. Unfortunately for them, it's often a moniker these days that gets thrown in their face when they're not doing very well.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. All right. Well, I want to ask you a couple of questions about the Cowboys, but I want to start off on some other things first today because what our topic of conversation was today, and if you were listening earlier, then you probably know where I'm going to go. But let me start off at least here with the fact that, you know, let's start off with the division games first. Bills at 4-1, co-leaders in the AFC East, as strange as it even sounds to say that, they're on the road playing the New York Giants. Might be tough for Patriots fans to root for the Giants, but you know what? I think this is where the Bills really have to start showing, you know what? 4-1 isn't a fluke. It could start this week.
Well, the thing about the Bills that is very interesting is, you know, we see this with teams every once in a while, whereas, you know, defensively their numbers aren't great, but they managed to force takeaways,
mm-hmm.
force turnovers, I should say. And the Bills, who have given up well over 400 yards of total offense each of the last four games, won three of those games. They lead the NFL in takeaways. They have 16. They have 12 interceptions. John, they only had 11 all of last year. They have done a 180. They lead the, you know what's amazing? They lead the NFL with a plus 11 turnover differential. They were NFL worst minus 17 last year. That's quite the flip-flop. But as you can tell, because of the amount of points they give up, 38-35, 34-31, 31-24, they are kind of dependent on those turnovers, and as you well know, you can't always count on those. Now, you're playing the New York Giants, and in some instances, you can usually count on getting some turnovers from the Giants. They had five more last week. That raises their total to 82 over the last 2 years plus. 82 turnovers in their last 37 games. They've been playing a little better earlier, but they are capable of any one time doing this, you know? And, you know, Eli Manning, three interceptions, a lost fumble last week. The difference with the Giants, though, is that the reason they may remain competitive is they're getting as many as they're giving away. I mean, they're entertaining to watch, okay? I mean, this is a team last year, as you know, led the league in turnovers, led the league in takeaways. I believe they have nine turnovers and 11 takeaways this year. So this is going to be the change of possession bowl on Sunday. And to me, since you can't depend on those takeaways, I lean toward the Giants in this game because I just think last week, for whatever reason, they either got caught napping. I don't want to say they took the Seahawks lightly, but the Seahawks had not played well the first four games. In the first 5 weeks of the season, I think that's one of the most inexplicable results of the early season so far. But I expect the Giants to bounce back at home against Buffalo Bills.
I am sort of leaning that direction myself. The other game obviously has the two other division teams in it. The Dolphins playing at the Jets. Both teams reeling to an extent. The Dolphins perhaps a little bit more so because they haven't managed to get into the win column yet. But the Dolphins are also coming off of the bye week. So with a bye week to prepare for the Jets and the Jets back home after an incredibly tough three-game road trip, who really has the upper hand here?
Well, you know, it's very interesting, and you know, we often talk about teams headed in opposite directions. Well, these look like two teams headed in the same direction. The Dolphins are winless, and the Jets are 0-3 after a 2-0 start. And the Dolphins, of course, are going to have a new quarterback this week. Chad Henne's gone, and it's now Matt Moore's turn.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting, though, and explain it how you will, whereas Rex Ryan has kind of held his own against the Patriots, although they lost last week, not so with the Miami Dolphins, okay? It has not been the case against Miami. You know, in fact, the Dolphins have won their last three games at the Jets. So they've had success. I mean, we know Miami can't win a game at home, but they certainly have no problem beating the Jets on the road. Wow. You know, the Jets struggling to run the ball, struggling to stop the run. Unfortunately, Miami seems like they're struggling doing
everything.
They just seem like a team and a franchise really out of sorts right now, and I think if it's a time for the Jets to get well, I think it should be this week.
Yeah, kind of leaning that way myself, but I know there'll be a lot of Patriots fans chuckling with glee if somehow the Dolphins manage to keep up their recent string of success against the Jets this week.
Well, especially in the Jets' own building, it's almost inexplicable.
Right.
But they seem to... whatever reason, and maybe it's just the Dolphins don't play well at home and they play well on the road, but the fact that they have beaten them, you know, in New Jersey 3 years in a row, you know, it's kind of almost mystifying.
Sure. All right, you know, some really other good games this week that you wouldn't normally have thought they would be good before the season started. And I'm going to start off with the 49ers playing at the Lions. Niners 4-1, Lions 5-0, probably, arguably, and maybe even inarguably, Russell, the two best single-team stories in the league to date thus far.
Well, no doubt about it. And, you know, this was two teams that combined for 12 wins last year. They're both 6-10. They're combined 9-1, like you already alluded to this year. And, you know, Detroit has been doing it since late last year. They've actually won 9 games in a row. And every time they turn around, but because they were so bad for over a decade, they seem to be putting the end to some sort of streak. We saw them last year finally win a road game after losing 26 in a row and win a divisional game after they lost 19 in a row. And this year they won in Minnesota after losing 13 in a row there. And Monday night they had lost 6 straight to the Bears and beat them on Monday night. They hadn't played a Monday night game in 10 years. And we've seen them come back from 20 and 24. And sure enough, here come the 49ers who since, amazingly, if you remember, you saw the 49ers play offense the first 3 weeks of the season, even though they won 2 of those first 3 games, they really got special teams from Ted Ginn against Seattle. They beat win an ugly 13-8 game at Cincinnati. Their offense just woke up in the second half against Philadelphia. And since trailing the Eagles by 20 in the third quarter 2 weeks ago, the 49ers had great help, actually, from the score last week. The 49ers are on a 69-3 roll, which is kind of like, you know, watching the Harlem Globetrotters go against Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
In one of those staged games, 69-3.
Yeah.
But Detroit has lost 7 in a row to 49ers. So here, one more. Here's another mark that we can shoot at. We haven't beaten the 49ers since 1995. Okay, here's another thing. And they just have all these things that they get to aim at. And more important than anything else, they just have this incredible defensive front, which is now getting support from its other guys, the Lawrence Jacksons and Willie Young. Now that we're, Nick Fairley is now in the mix, the first-round draft pick this year. And that's with Ndamukong Suh, and that's with Cliff Averill, and that's with Kyle VandenBosch. They just put such incredible heat. I mean, you saw the game Monday night, I'm sure. Jay Cutler spent so much time backpedaling, throwing off his back foot, trying to roll out of the pocket. I mean, they were absolutely relentless. But you got to give credit a little more to San Francisco as well, because the one thing I think, as much as anything that we're surprised about, has been the play, and hate to pin it on one person, is Alex Smith, who's, you know, been question mark after question mark after question mark since he came into the league, the first overall pick in 2005. Just throwing this number out there. Last year, if you remember, the Niners started 0-5, and Alex Smith had at least 2 turnovers in 4 of those 5 games, John. This year, they're 4-1. He's committed 2 turnovers total in their first 5 games.
Sounds a little like Tony Romo.
Well, listen, taking care, you know, game manager is a it's 2 words. You would think it was a 4-letter word, the way we get it bannered about. You know, you hear people refer to it as a game manager.
Yeah.
You know, you can throw for 350 yards and still be a game manager,
right?
Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. The game manager indicates that you manage the game, and that's, you know, you look at Tony Romo, and you look at what happened with the Cowboys the last time we saw them. We're going to talk about them later. You know, you don't blow a 24-point lead at home. And that game got away from them. But I think Jim Harbaugh has come in here and with San Francisco and just added something there. They started off slowly offensively. They're playing lights-out football right now. And I mean not just offensively, but defensively, they've been pretty steady all year. I just think going into Detroit right now is a tough, tough task for anybody. The Lions' confidence, I don't think, has ever been higher. And I'm not talking about in the team history, but just the way they're playing now. You heard that crowd Monday night. I think that's a tall order for the 49ers. And I know a lot gets made about teams coming from the West Coast and playing, you know, in the Eastern time zone, but, you know, we've seen the Niners do it a couple times this year. At Cincinnati, remember, they stayed in Ohio for the week, and then they came back and beat Philadelphia the week after. But after this big win that they had over Tampa Bay, 48-3, now they come back here and play, you know, they're playing a hotter team than they are. And, you know, the Lions are going to keep this thing rolling for a little bit, I think.
Yeah. The other two other games I wanted to look at before we get to ours, one in the NFC, Saints at the Bucs. You know, Tampa Bay started out on fire, and now they've cooled off. Does New Orleans come in and bring Tampa Bay all the way back to where, I don't know, maybe they should be, maybe we thought that they would be, and that's really sort of an even Steven team?
Well, listen, even though it turned out to be a shootout last week, John, the Saints won at Carolina. Big road divisional win. I mean, we remember what this division was like last year.
Sure.
13-3, 11-5, 10-6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, the Saints were, and the Saints have actually lost, 2 games. The last 2 years they've lost to the Buccaneers at their own building. I know this one's in Tampa. It's kind of been an odd series. The road team, I think, has won like the last 4 meetings. To me, the way you beat the Saints is to pound on them a little. And, I think LeGarrette Blount's status this week is shaky, to say the least. Not sure if the Buccaneers are expecting him to play. And he's the kind of back who can give the Saints problems. I mean, the Saints defense, I think, has played a little better, but we saw what D'Angelo Williams did last week. I think you can still control the ball against the Saints, and that's what you got to do. I mean, Drew Brees, I think he's thrown for 350 yards three straight weeks and four of the five games he's played this year. You know, no one, he's as good as anyone. Does he make more mistakes than he has the last few years than in recent years? Yes. You see the turnovers with him. I think the Bucs would probably have to get three or four picks in this game to do that, but I don't know if they're capable of it. Now, I like what Raheem Morris is doing with Tampa, and they got a big win a couple weeks ago at home against Atlanta. But I think the Saints are, you know, listen, they lost to the Packers on opening day. They haven't lost since. Again, I think they're a little bit of a flawed team because of their defense, but I don't think Tampa has necessarily the explosiveness to keep up with them.
Then in the AFC, I'm wondering how, you know, I don't know, shell-shocked maybe the Houston Texans are because they ended up losing to Oakland last week, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Oakland. It was an emotional day for them for obvious reasons, but Texans now have to go on the road and play arguably the best defensive team in the league, and on their own defense, no Mario Williams.
Well, listen, yeah, they're going to be out. I mean, you make the case, John, without their two best players, Andre Johnson
and Mario Williams. Right.
Okay, that's a tall order. Baltimore had the week off to get ready for this. They are a perfect 4-0 against the Houston Texans. I think it is a tall order. And we're going to find out a lot about Houston the next couple weeks. And we seem like they always get off to a good start, and you certainly have doubts with them because they never seem to be able to close the deal. We're still waiting for them to be a playoff team. The next 2 weeks, they're at Baltimore and they're at Tennessee. And, you know, I think for them to show that they're a little different than we've seen in recent years, I think they have to win one of those games. I'm not saying which one. Obviously, it would be more important if they won at Tennessee when it comes to the divisional race. But they were, listen, that was a tall order last week. Obviously, with the passing of Mr. Al Davis and so on, condolences to his family again. You know, that was a very fired up Raiders team. That would have been a tall order for anybody to play against the Raiders last week. But it's at Baltimore. And the Ravens, honestly, John, been a little up and down. We saw them blow out Pittsburgh, and then they came back to earth and lost at Tennessee. We saw them blow out the Rams, which is, you know, Rams are having a lot of problems. And even though they beat the Jets by 17, offensively, they really didn't do that much. You know, their offense scored one touchdown that night. They got three returns off of Sanchez's mistake and took him back for a touchdown. So I get the feeling this is going to be a sloppy game. I think it's going to be a physical game. I think if the Texans are going to win it, they're going to need some timely people to step up. But I think Baltimore having these 2 weeks off helps them a lot. And, you know, I got to lean toward the Ravens being at home.
You know, and you brought up the Raiders in this conversation as well, and actually an interesting game they have at home with the Cleveland Browns this week. Cleveland's up at 2-2. Colt McCoy is starting to give the impression to a lot of people who watch the Browns now that he can just win, that he's not particularly spectacular in doing one thing or another, but he knows how to lead his team. How valuable is that?
Well, he brings a little stability to the offense, and that's an area that they haven't had a lot of stability in. You know, basically since they returned to the league. Remember when they came back, Tim Couch was their first pick in 1999. And
right.
They kind of, you know, Derek Anderson had a Pro Bowl year for them 1 year, but they really kind of been searching for a quarterback ever since. And, you know, they play good but not great defense. They're a little vulnerable to the run. Obviously, Oakland is as well. You know, Oakland with Darren McFadden just gets it done. You know what's funny about the Raiders? You want to talk about lean times, John? The Raiders are 3-2. Okay? Now they have a winning record, and I'm not slighting them. They haven't been 3-2 since 2002. Okay? Now I know that sounds like I'm being taking a swipe at them, but that's how lean the years have been for the Raiders, that being just 3-2 is their best start in 9 years. Okay? So, I think they showed a lot last week. The problem for them last year, as you remember, they were an 8-8 football team. They were 6-0 in the division, and they were 2-10 outside the division.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, I'm sorry. 2-8 outside the division. My bad math on my part. 2-8 outside the division. They're already 2-2 outside the division this year. They have proven over the last year they can beat the teams in the division. And after they get done with Cleveland this week, they then have three straight games against their AFC West rivals. So I think they need to build up some wins outside the division if they're going to keep pace or challenge San Diego, who is off to an uncharacteristic 4-1 start. If they're going to make hay in terms of either winning the AFC West or finally getting back to the playoffs for the first time in 9 years.
By the way, Darren McFadden averaging 104 yards rushing per game through five games.
Well, he's just become dynamic. And you remember, you know, high pick in the draft, first couple years, a little bit of a disappointment, had trouble staying healthy. Boy, he caught fire last year. He had a big year, even though he's a little banged up again last year. But this year, you know, he's been lights out for the Raiders.
He really has. And right on top of things statistically as well, rushing the ball. All right, that brings us then to the Cowboys and the Patriots. 4:15 Eastern time kickoff here at Gillette. You know, our conversation all week is centered on America's team and who really deserves the name. Do the Patriots get it for what they did in the first decade of the new millennium? Do the Cowboys deserve it because they were it once? Does somebody else deserve it? And then, of course, the question that I asked today, and I'll get back because I know you were listening to some of the show earlier. The question that I was asking today was give me a reason why the Patriots will win and give me a reason why the Cowboys will win. Because literally I've been torn and I've been going back and forth all week long coming up with things and coming up with reasons why I think both sides can win. So I'll put you on the spot here, Russell, but I know you've got plenty of reasons. So first of all, let's start off with a reason why you think the Patriots will win the game.
Well, I think because their offense the last 2 weeks has shown that sense of balance. And listen, I know Rob Ryan was defensive coordinator last year in Cleveland. You know, Eric Mangini was there as well. You know, it was a game where the Patriots were held to 14 points. It's been pointed out a couple of times. But New England continues to me to evolve offensively. You know, they take what they have. And they never have the same game plan. And they've been like that for a long time. I mean, there are certain aspects, obviously, like the spread you out in certain regards and so on. But the last couple of weeks, when they need to really run the ball, they ran the ball. Okay? And, you know, so they put so much pressure on. Listen, I know they had an off day last week, John. They didn't score 31 points. They were limited to 30. Okay, so yeah. What's that, 13 regular season games in a row?
Right, they can
score at least 30 points.
They can tie the Rams' record this week if they can score 30.
Right, and if you include the playoffs, that means it's 14 games in a row that they've scored at least 21,
right.
Okay?
Right.
So no, my point is they just put so much pressure on you to keep up with them, okay? Just catch your breath. You know, last week in the Jets game, you know, there was the turnover in the red zone. They looked like they were going to turn over the ball again in the red zone. The play was overturned, and they could wind up getting a touchdown out of it. You know, and you could almost see like a little air go out of Jets' tires on that one. And then the air really got taken out of tires when Ben Jarvis Green Ellis ran the ball down their throats late in the game. So I just think no matter how well you play defensively, I think you almost go into a game against New England thinking you have to play perfect defensively. And I think it just puts so much pressure on you that, you know, listen, it's a pressure business. You don't need added pressure. And I think that's what the Patriots do to you. They make you think overtime. And I don't mean overtime as in playing overtime. They just constantly have you on your heels. And no one wants to be in that situation, no matter what you're doing for a living.
Right. Okay, then a reason the Cowboys can win the game.
Well, they can get DeMarcus Ware to spend a little time in the New England backfield, strip sack Tom Brady, and maybe you know take at least one back. I'm not saying they have to do that, but you know get in Tom Brady's face, make him uncomfortable, but do something with it if you do take away the football. Okay, we knew Tom Brady wasn't going to throw four interceptions in one season again. Now he threw four interceptions in one game. You know, those things happen. It's not like he's all of a sudden a turnover machine. So this is a lot easier said than done. okay? But you've got to, it is the, it's, I always go back to the 2004 playoff game between the Colts, and the Patriots, when everybody talked about Peyton Manning, and, you know, at that time it set the new record, you know, with touchdown passes in the season, 49. Of course, Brady would break it 3 years later. But they got the Foxborough that day, and they got a field goal. And, you know, in 92 years of professional football, no quarterback's ever thrown a touchdown pass from the sideline. And that's what you got to do with the Patriots. That's what the Cowboys, they have to maintain some sort of ball control, limit the Patriots' possessions, and then when the Patriots do have the ball, make sure they have it for a short time and get some takeaways. And listen, we know DeMarcus Ware is capable of doing that. No one has, I believe, no one since DeMarcus Ware came into the league in 2005, I believe no one has more sacks than he does. He is a disruptor. He is a big play guy. He's a guy actually who can grab a ball in midair and run it back for a touchdown as well. I mean, he's as good as they come as far as a pressure player on defense. But again, it's easier said than done. And you can't have DeMarcus Ware get just one sack and one takeaway. You've got to have the Patriots hand you the ball two or three times, especially in their own building.
Mm-hmm. If you're Bill Belichick and your expertise is to basically take away a player or the best thing that the opposing team does, how do you pick your poison this week against that Cowboy offense? Who do you try to take away? The Patriots last week took away Dustin Keller pretty effectively.
Well, I mean, Jason Witten, I think, is their overall, I mean this,
yeah,
best offensive player.
Yeah.
Overall.
Yeah.
Okay? I think Dez Bryant is their most dynamic offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think Miles Austin, who's expected back this week, is somewhere in between. I'm not saying Dez Bryant is better than Miles Austin. He's a different kind of player. In the short time that we have seen Dez Bryant this year, okay, he's not only been good, he's been overly spectacular. I mean, you saw him week one against the Jets, and during that first half, he looked like he was almost unguardable. Okay. Now, Miles Austin is a much more consistent player, but we actually haven't seen him on the field since he got hurt. So I don't know, even though he's expected to play this week, I don't know how 100% truly healthy he is.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's why I'm tempering a little with Miles Austin. I'm not saying Dez Bryant is better than he is. It's just a different category. I do believe Jason Witten is their best overall offensive player because of all the different things he can do. And to me, he has shown no signs of slowing down whatsoever. So, if you had to pick your poison, per se, I think it is Jason Witten, just like Dustin Keller.
Yeah.
I think you have to limit what happens to him, because I think when Tony Romo does get in trouble, that's the guy he's going to look for.
Yeah.
Does Jason have a ton of touchdowns? No. Does he have a ton of catches? Yes. He usually has a ton of catches. Miles Austin gets the touchdowns, or Dez Bryant gets the touchdown. I know Witten had one 2 weeks ago against the Lions.
That's been his only
but
one this year.
If I had to take away their best offensive player,
mm-hmm,
I would find the best way to limit what Jason Witten does.
Yeah, I would concur with that one. So are you leaning more toward New England in this one, or do the Cowboys have a legitimate opportunity considering that they've had the week off to prepare for, you know, an opponent that you really don't have a lot of familiarity with? And as we pointed out at the top of our show today, keep in mind, last time the Patriots were held to less than 30, the defensive coordinator for that Cleveland team was one Rob Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. And, listen, the Patriots have played 5 games this year. I think I've had a chance to pick 4 of them, and I think I'm 0-9. So I've had no gauge whatsoever on them whatsoever. I thought the Jets would do much better than they did last week.
And yet I keep coming back to you.
Yeah, and it just didn't happen. And of course, I also thought the Patriots would beat the Bills. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't gauge my record with picking with you, John, and so on. But I think I've put my cleats in my mouth more than once this year.
Yeah.
But the erraticness of the Cowboys makes me very hesitant to pick them. I know they're the only team to beat San Francisco. Well, San Francisco was 15-1. I think that was an accomplishment. And I know they're the only team to beat Washington this year. And if the Redskins were 13-3, I think that was an accomplishment. Okay?
Yeah.
This whole thing about who you beat and how, et cetera, et cetera. They also lost to the Jets, who I think have been celebrating since they won that Cowboy game. Okay? So yeah. It's almost not a gauge, but the inability to close games, and we've seen it a couple times with the Cowboys, the ability to be spectacular at times too. The Cowboys are just, you just don't see 60 complete minutes from them. And if you're not going to play 60 minutes of football against the New England Patriots, you're in for a long afternoon. And I think the Cowboys will play well here, and New England's defensive problems, will have been an issue. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. But I just don't see the Cowboys being able to keep up with them, and it has nothing to do with Tony Romo. I know Tony gets, none of the credit and all the blame, unless, of course, he's hurt, and then he turns into John Wayne. But I have to go with the more consistent football team here, and to me, consistency and the New England Patriots go perfectly together. So I opt for New England. I know which way you're going. I heard you pick earlier and so on. It's almost like people are daring you to pick Dallas.
They were, because they know my background, they know my history, and that's fine, and I understand that. And I have to admit, Russell, I really was torn. Every time I would come up with a reason the Patriots win the game, I could come up with one that Dallas should win the game too, because the Cowboys, man for man, and we talked about this earlier today as well, man for man, the Cowboys stack up as favorably against the Patriots maybe as any individual team will this year. But the big question mark with the Cowboys is, how does this individualness operate collectively? And so far, they have not operated very well.
Right. And I am hoping for their sake that they spent, listen, we knew they were going to have a young offensive line this year. They really cleaned house. Doug Free is the left tackle, and they made changes everywhere else. This is what you do during your bye week. We saw what New England did during their bye week last year. They took big advantage of it.
Yeah.
This is what you need to do during your bye week. It's to fill your holes. You've had, this year I think teams a little more advantageous, to be honest with you. I don't know if the NFL will do it again next year, but instead of 3 weeks into the season, it was, or I should say 3 games into the season, they didn't start the byes until 4 games into the season. I actually hope they do that next year as well. I hope that's the plan. So you had a quarter of the season to figure out what you did well and what you didn't do well. And we saw what the Cowboys didn't do well. One of them is their play calling after they get a big lead. I have to be honest with you. So as much as Tony Romo was getting pick six against the Lions, he's also dropping back to pass. I don't know if he was audibling out of runs all that time. So you got to learn how to close a game. We've seen the Cowboys not do it a couple of times. I know New England had its hiccup of not closing the game against the Bills, but more times than not, they know how to close the game. They've certainly done it against the Raiders and the Jets the last 2 weeks, and I think they'll close the game this week as well.
Okay, fair enough. Russell, great stuff as always, buddy. I am looking forward to the game. It's going to be, whenever you get a chance to play a team like Dallas, you don't get a chance to play them all that often. It's always a fun thing. And by the way, we saw the schedule, or at least the opponents for 2012, come out this week. And, I realize that it's a rotational thing where the Patriots will get NFC West teams in here next year. But that always adds a little bit of spice, I think. So I look forward to when those announcements come out.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny. Right off the top of my head, I think the Patriots have beaten the Cowboys, I think, the last 3 times.
Three in a row, in fact.
After losing the first 7 times.
That's correct.
That they faced them.
That is correct.
So I don't know why those things happen. People ask me, well, it's different players, it's different eras, it's different coaches. I can't explain those things. I can't explain why the Atlanta Falcons are struggling this year. And in the back of my mind, I still realize they've never made the playoffs 2 years in a row. And
that's,
I don't
right.
know what's going to happen by the end of the year.
Right.
But if they don't make the playoffs again, I'm going to go, it's been 40-something years, and for whatever reason, the Atlanta Falcons can't make the playoffs 2 years in a row. I don't know what that means, because they've obviously changed players and management and coaches and all that stuff. But that's one of the beauties of the history of professional football.
Exactly. Russell, we'll talk next week.
You got it, Sean. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, buddy. You too. All right. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. You can catch all of his stuff on ProFootballGuru.com, or you can follow him on Twitter at Bax, B-A-X, Football Guru, all one word, at Bax Football Guru. So that's how you follow Russell. All right. Before we get to the Pete Shepherd Show, let's get some emails and a couple of Facebook posts underway here. Arky from Boston says, guys, the Patriots will win because they will adjust to the pass rush and find a way to score. The defense has a challenge on their hands. Dallas is a good defense. However, they have allowed 24 points a game. Our defense will step up this week, make plays. Chad, Slater, Branch, they're going to be the stars this week. And with all that said, Pats will still win by a touchdown or field goal. Well, now, that's actually a big difference, Arky. Touchdown or field goal? Which is it going to be? I mean, field goal means that, you know, you're probably coming, you're coming down literally either way. It's a last possession game. But if it's a field goal, now you're talking about, you know, some real, you know, knee knocking time. Because, team can drive down and knock one in from 50 yards fairly routinely. Max says, guys, is it just me or did that guy who called in earlier from Nova Scotia who praised Wes Welker? Did that guy sound exactly like Wes Welker? Now, Welker has been known to be a bit of a prankster. Is it possible it was him calling in to have some fun? Either way, I agree with him. Well, I guess it could have been, but he's been the guy from Nova Scotia has called us before. Was it Thomas, like his name was? He has called in before. Maybe it's been Wes before. Reveal thyself, Wes. Reveal thyself. Chris, Tom Brady. Tom knows that the offense left points on the field last week. The offense will be moving like they did in week one. Tom will start the game 18 for 20 with a couple of touchdowns in the first half. Patriots defense is due for some turnovers. We're going to get one or two. Patriots 38, Cowboys 24. And the Cowboys get 14 points in garbage time, he says. Okay. Strippers asked the question without really asking a question. He says, can Sean Lee cover Hernandez or Gronk? He's quick. And we actually talked about this yesterday, Strippers. And I think Lee can probably man up with one or the other. And my guess is that's probably what the Cowboys will try to do assignment-wise. The question is, do they risk not doubling the other? I think if they decide to go man-on-man, first of all, I don't think there's a linebacker in the league that can cover Aaron Hernandez man-on-man. I just don't. I think Hernandez has got too much quicks. Now, last week we saw Brady overthrow him a little bit. That could be because of a little rust. It also could be because Hernandez is trying to work himself back into really playing shape after missing a couple of weeks with the knee injury. That being said, without the ability to cover Hernandez one-on-one, I don't know that anybody can cover Gronk one-on-one either. I think you got to kind of choose your poison. Maybe you decide that Lee is a better matchup with, say, Hernandez, and then you try to double down and give some safety help to Gronk. I don't know. But if the Cowboys make a fundamental decision to try to take the Patriot tight ends out of the equation, you know that's just going to make, it should, in theory, make a field day for Wes. I mean, you could see him come up with 7, 8, 9 catches for another 120, 130, 140 yards. And again, with all due respect to a couple of pretty good corners in Newman and Jenkins that the Cowboys have, they're not Darrell Revis, and even Revis had his trouble with Wes last week. So I don't know that Sean Lee can cover one or the other, or I don't know if anybody can cover one or the other one-on-one, and I guess it'll be interesting to see how the chess game unfolds with what the Cowboys want to bring, you know, out on the field.
It's going to be Skandrick on Welker, at least to start. And he's the member. I remember the three of those guys are coming back and playing for the first time together this year. Now, that really, to me, it's not going to mean, I mean, it's nice for Dallas that their starters are back and, you know, Newman, Jenkins, and Skandrick the first time all three, but I was listening to one of the Dallas talk shows today, and Skandrick, the way they...
You think they'll open up a nickel and put him on him?
The way that, I didn't hear him quoted directly, but the way they were paraphrasing how he was reacting in the locker room, he was kind of scratching his head about the game plan, which is not a good thing if you're going up against the Patriots offense. And but the way I look at it, Skandrick's going to be on Welker. I mean, Skandrick's no Revis. I mean, he's a very – he might be their best cornerback. He actually might be their best cornerback. But that doesn't mean anything. Welker's going to get his yards. He'll get his yards.
Well, I think that's a given as long as the Patriots go to him.
No question. He'll be open. I mean, when is he not open?
Do you think, though, the Patriots will see a nickel defensively?
I think they'll try and see. I think they'll see a lot of things. I think what people really – some already are getting way too caught up in the Rob Ryan game last year with Cleveland. Now, I went back and watched it today because you can find it on the Internet because I knew it was a stupid, freaky, dumb game.
Rob
Gronkowski fumbled the opening kickoff, fumbled it. Remember, Morris almost got it, but they didn't. 7-0 Cleveland, just like that. Then Gronkowski drops a pass in the end, fumbles at the 2-yard line right before the end of like 10 seconds to go in the half or 2 seconds to go in the half. Would have made the game 17-14 at that time. Had he not fumbled the opening kickoff, the Patriots, you know, who knows? Maybe they march down the field and score and take a 7-0 lead. There are also multiple drops by receivers in that game. That game had Rob Ryan had something to do with it. And Hillis ran for 180 yards. He ran like
ran
crazy.
All over him.
Ran all over him. But the turnovers in that game the Patriots committed were freaking gigantic. And that was a big part of why they lost that game. Those were two gigantic turnovers, one at the beginning of the game and one right before halftime. Unfortunately, both by Gronk.
Yeah. So if the Patriots can avoid mistakes, maybe force a couple of Cowboy mistakes. Well, then you're thinking you should have things in hand.
See, I was saying yesterday that what's great about being the Patriots' defense this week is you don't have to be good because Romo will just find a way to throw the ball to you, even if you're out of position. He does. I'm telling you, he'll make you scratch your head, going, I can't. What was he thinking? He has at least one or two of those a game, so. You know, the Patriots defense doesn't have to be that good this week. It's Romo. He's a complete wild card. He'll make great plays, and then he'll make great picks for the Patriots, too. That's going to happen.
Do you like the Pats in a walk-away?
No, not at all. No, I don't. Not in a walk-away. I'm going to give my score at the end, but I think they were going to win by 10.
Okay.
I'll wait for my score, but I think it'll be a fairly close game. I don't see a blowout here. But if Romo reverts back to what he did in the second half against the Lions or what he did against the Jets. You know, he can't afford any of those mistakes. Dallas has to score 30 points to win. I don't think they will. They know that.
Don't think they will score 30 because they can against the defense, or they'll shoot themselves in the foot?
I think a little bit of both. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball all that well with Jones. And, you know, and there's no question, you know, Dez Bryant and Witten, you know, and Miles, there's no question that those guys can make plays. I mean, Dallas is going to make some plays. They're going to move the ball a little bit. And I would expect them to against most teams as they get some talented offensive players. But, you know, if Tony Robo really craps out this week, get ready for the John Kitna talk because it's going to happen.
Ooh,
it is going to happen because, he played pretty well last year when he came. He's not Romo. I mean, he's not as talented as Romo, but he doesn't make mistakes like Romo does. I'm telling you, it's going to happen in Dallas. If they get walloped in this game, and I don't think it, but even if they, you know how Dallas is. You grew up there. You get ready for the Kitna talk. If he throws picks like he did against Detroit, they're going to be all over his case.
All right. Besides B-Low and the fantasy lowdown, what else today?
Well, we do have coming up Nick Eaton from Cowboys.com, who's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. So we'll get his take. And Cowboys have a couple injuries too. I mean, there's their Jason Hatcher is out. That's their right defensive end. He's not going to play. And so
Spears will probably move in there.
Possibly.
Okay.
They were talking about. It looks like, I mean, it should be Spears, but I was listening to their website too when they had a couple other theories. But we'll ask Nick when he comes on.
All right.
So I mean, and he's been very logical. I've listened. I mean, I think most Cowboy fans are very afraid of this game. It's not, this rah rah America's team. We can just go in and beat the Patriots at home. The Patriots won 19 straight at home. They're 17-1 right, against
NFC teams since 2002.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we all remember that cruddy Green Bay loss.
That's right.
I think it was they lost to Denver, Green Bay back to back. I think that year.
Correct.
In 2005, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't see how Dallas can cover everybody as long as the Patriots don't shoot themselves in the foot like Buffalo, deflected interception stuff like that. I think they'll be fine. But I think like I said they had their one brain fart game. That was the Buffalo game. I think they're going to be very focused this week.
All right. Pete Shepard's coming up. A couple of final emails to wrap it up here. Omar in Atlanta. John, if the Cowboys are America's team, then the Lions should continue to have their Thanksgiving Day game. Please. Some things just don't mean what they used to, although I don't remember what tradition grants the Lions a Turkey Day game. Maybe that should rotate among other teams. Well, the Lions started Turkey Day. Omar. The Thanksgiving football tradition started with the Detroit Lions. The Cowboys came in with their own version of the Thanksgiving Day game in the, I want to say, late 60s. It may have been mid, but I believe it was late 1960s when they also decided, in fact, Tex Schramm, this is why he was such a genius at the time, as the Cowboys general manager, was he saw that it was an exclusive window and an opportunity to market his product, which at the time was just becoming, quote unquote, America's team. And so they lobbied the NFL, and the NFL thought it'd be a great idea to have a doubleheader on Thanksgiving Day. Mm-hmm. And that's how it started. So the Lions started the tradition. Tradition, I believe, that goes back to the 1950s, if not before. But the Cowboys came in with it, I believe, in the late 60s and have continued it ever since. And, of course, it's just been within the last 10 years that we actually have the nightcap to it all on NFL Network since the NFL Network launched.
Yeah, and good news for you, John. I'm sure you know, unless you're away with the Friars on some kind of the Christmas break, but you get to wear Christmas Eve and New Year's
Day.
Isn't that nice?
Yes, it's lovely. Thank you.
Now, the Buffalo game might mean...
Drinks are on me.
Maybe it'll mean the division, but man, I remember coming here to the... I remember Christmas Eve against... when I had season tickets back in the day, and it must have been, I don't know, 88, 89. Remember they played the Rams on Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
And they lost 14-0.
I remember that. Yeah.
But what an awful game. But we all had fun. Everybody's having fun. You know, the 18,000 of us that showed up had a blast.
Exactly. It's kind of like, well, we got to be here, so we might as well make the most of it. It'd be a little bit different, I think, this
time
around.
They also beat the Bears under Parcells on Christmas Eve in Chicago, remember, make the playoffs. Remember, that was a big game. That was a big win by the Patriots. It was a low-scoring game. It was 13-3. Bledsoe was very good in Chicago. They had to win that game to get the secure the wild card. When Parcells was here the first
right.
year. That was a Christmas Eve game too.
Right. I think I do recall that. Yeah.
And New Year's Day was against Miami that time.
That was a New Year's Day.
That was a New Year's Day game. That was a rough because that was a long night.
Let's see. Couple of other quick notes here. That was a lot of fun, in fact, as
it
I
was.
Recall.
A good thing it was a 4 o'clock game, I think.
Derek sends me on Facebook. He says, Rook, the Pats are winning it. Book it. Joshua says, as for the defense, remember, we've got two players that were former Redskins, have experience against this team. I think our D-line will apply a good amount of pressure to that inconsistent offensive line that seems to cause a lot of trouble for Romo. Let's see, what else did we have here? Oh, and Robert, I'm really worried about specific matchups. Here are just a few. McCourtney against Dez Bryant or Miles Austin. Wes Welker against Terrence Newman. Our safeties for the season have defended some of the better tight ends in the league. Jason Witten, definitely top five. Hope it happens this week again. Okay, interesting. Most everybody seems to feel like the Patriots should prevail. I like the Patriots in a tight one, but it's not going to shock me to see the Cowboys, with the week off to prepare, figure a way to get it done. And then that'll certainly give us something to talk about for the bye week next week on Tuesday. Pete Shepard is coming up next. Our thanks to Russell Baxter. Our thanks to you for taking part in the program, as you always do. Same Pats time, same Pats channel. We'll nitpick on Tuesday. And don't forget, coming up next Wednesday, Game Show Wednesday. Appointment listening in the playbook.
I've never been defeated and I won't stop now. Whoa. Keep your hands up, get them in the sky for the homies that ain't making it, my folks locked down. Whoa. I never went nowhere. Know what they saying, loot is back. Blame it on that contour. The hood call it loot a yak. And I'm on this foolish track, so I spit my foolish.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Bill Sims from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.